welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and special guest host,
direct from the edge of the podcasting fringe, it's the Rob Charney.
So, and welcome.
I like the one with the music.
We are at the eve of a Great Depression 2, China Boogaloo, so hope everybody's strapped in with their trade tables up, hoping to see what happens on this psycho circus we are on currently. And we are hoping to bring you some entertainment, or at least make you pissed off enough not to think about possibly you're going
to
die.
I think that's the way to actually get somebody to listen to the show, is just, let's just be so freaking far out with everything.
We're already a controversial. I've already been threatened before. I'm not quite sure if you go farther.
I want to go all the way. I really want to get, I mean, you know. Should
you
I
want to get people I really want pissed to, off.
That's right. I want to get people so pissed at us that they'll listen. And it's kind of like, you know, come on.
So talk
now, is this show rated PG?
As much as I cuss?
No, I'm just wondering. I mean, because, you know, can I swear?
Fuck it, go ahead.
I just want to know. I don't know. I mean, we're sitting in it. Well, oh no, I lost my sound.
I mean, I cuss.
Yeah.
I mean, we cuss already as it is. So I wouldn't worry too much.
That's just John full of shit. Yeah. But that's okay. Well,
yeah. Hold on. Rob's here is just, you know, he's fuddling with the
technical problems here. I got carried away with my cord.
So. Something incredibly sad. I figured we would try to have all our sad stuff at the beginning of the show.
Okay.
And then we're going to go into the happy ending. You know, it probably it may not work, but we'll see. The last of the League of Their Own's Rockford Peach has died at 101 years old. The last female baseball player, pro baseball player, has passed away at 101.
Wow.
Damn, that's a good age. I loved that movie as a kid. I've seen it probably 40, 50 times because it was on all the time on TV when I was a kid.
We let you watch it.
You let me watch a lot more than most parents. So this is a fairly innocent movie compared to Rambo and, you know, Class of Nukem High.
That's true.
What's wrong with Rambo?
It's a little violent for a little kid to see.
Heck, let him see it.
But nowadays they just call it, you know, Entertainment Monday or Tuesday or whatever they actually call their standard shows in the alphabet channels. It surprised me. I didn't actually know there were any of these ladies still alive. I mean, obviously they're not anymore. She's kicked the bucket. But I was really surprised. Trying to figure out her name is. Mary Pratt was a pitcher playing on the All-American Girls Professional Baseball League between 43 and 47. Pratt threw left-handed. Oh. Pat threw and batted for the left-handed for the Rockford Peaches, her first playing 24 games for her season. First season, next she transferred to the Kanush Comets. So my condolences to her family. You know, she was she definitely grabbed the brass ring, even though they had to play in skirts. I mean, I just couldn't imagine playing pro baseball in a skirt. If you watch the actual movie and the behind the scenes thing, they actually talk about how the ladies who were in the movie got beat the hell playing baseball. You know, bruises, scrapes. It's
Rosie O'Donnell got hit in the head. Even if that's not true,
that still doesn't
I'm gonna
things,
go. But... I'm gonna go with it, even if it's not true.
It explains a lot.
Maybe more than once.
So I did want to say something, the reason why I'm a huge fan of Elon Musk, besides the fact the dude's a little...
So we're off of League of Their Own, huh?
Yeah, well, he's...
Okay. Apparently.
Elon Musk is a little...
yes.
Odd. But he's...
You think?
So the Alameda, which is basically San Francisco, where San Francisco is... basically said Elon Musk cannot start up the Tesla factory. The governor of California said, okay, manufacturing, et cetera, can start booting up with appropriate measures. And which counted Tesla? Alameda said, you're not. Elon Musk, you know, basically said yesterday, he's like, we're going to do it no matter what. I'll be on the floor. If you're going to arrest anybody, arrest me. And then you had, what is her name? She's the... Lauren S. Gonzalez. She was the lady who did the AB5 in California that basically ruined anybody being a what you not an employee, basically a contract employer or a gig coworker.
Right.
She put "fuck Elon Musk" on Twitter. This is somebody. This is an elected official. Which, hey, it's the Trump era. Anything's possible. Yeah. I love his response though. Message received.
Good for him.
I love this guy, and I love him for multiple reasons, but he doesn't really seem to care, which has bitten him in the ass a couple of times. I mean, he almost got kicked out of his own company for smoking weed on Joe Rogan's podcast. But it's hilarious.
Well, my understanding is that today at some time, Musk said, that's it. I'm going to pull out of California completely.
He did.
I don't blame him.
He said he's gonna shift everything to Texas or Nevada, and if they have anything left in California, it would be up to how his company is treated. And when he said that, Dan Crenshaw, who's a congressman, right. a federal congressman, right. but lives from Texas, basically said, "Hey, you know,
come to Texas.
Come to Texas." Yeah. Nevada basically said the same thing.
Crenshaw's a really pretty good guy.
He's an ex-Navy SEAL,
yeah.
Which is funny because you would think of all the people to talk shit about, a guy who's literally been trained to kill you, you think you would be careful not to...
He's a very peaceful man.
Well, I think if you did what he did, you'd have to be peaceful or nuts. I mean, let's be honest.
Okay, well, yeah, I don't blame any of the major companies for getting the heck out of California, to be honest with you. So I am surprised that Musk wanted to stay anywhere near Silicon Valley for anything.
So from what I've heard, he got a pretty nice package, taxes and et cetera, for going into where the building is now.
Yeah, and so Nevada did the same thing for the battery plant, and so did his SpaceX stuff. Everybody's been giving him tax breaks.
So I think what happened, it was a nice break, plus being near Silicon Valley, I think for Tesla, was really important. I think now that Tesla's actually up and running as pretty much the savior of the electric car, I think now they can move and I think people will come to him. And if y'all don't know what I mean, they had electric cars around the same era as the combustion engine. Look up, Jay Leno has a 1909 electric car. The idea is old as hell.
It's still the battery problem. Yeah. It was the battery problem then. It's the battery problem now.
But thankfully, because of Tesla and other things, that they are getting better.
If we had stuck with the battery cars back in 1901, when there were a couple of battery car companies coming around, we would never have interstate highways.
You know,
the distance was like 12 miles.
I'm not sure if that was necessarily a bad thing.
It was just a little further than the horse.
This is true.
That's all it was. It was, you know.
But would have that been a bad thing?
Yeah.
But you never know. If we went the battery way, technology could be a lot more advanced than it is now versus combustion engines. But then again, would we have gotten to the moon over a battery, you know, if we were using more battery? Yeah. Oriented things versus combustion?
I think that would have been an issue. So I don't think there's right now. No, we wouldn't have, because there's no real way that we know of to get to the moon using electricity. Because there have been plans to use atomic bombs as propulsion.
A lot of crazy suggestions in the early atomic age, just to be honest with you.
Well, that one's at least, because the one of the things I saw is it basically using solar sails and launching a small nuke to create the sail, and you'd be riding the wave. You know, if you protect from the radiation, that sounds reasonable.
Well, if you're in space, I don't suppose that's a problem. Radiation is everywhere.
Yeah, I was going to say, space is completely filled with radiation. Yeah.
I don't know.
So how many of you guys like D. Snyder?
Here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'm trying to come up and you guys haven't changed topics.
No, you're absolutely right, Jonathan. I have nothing to talk about.
You haven't given us a chance to change topics. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. So what about D?
So D. Snyder has been talking shit about Motley Crue. Yes. Motley Crue allegedly retired back in 2016. And
rightly so.
And Nikki Sixx basically said, we believe that we retired the best artistically way possible. And now they've actually said, hey, we're going to do another tour. And Dee Snider, who a man who's never been able to shut up, said, was making fun of it. He said, you know, if you're going to, basically, he said, you know, if you're going to retire, stay retired. He said, I've always called myself a whore, an expensive whore. You add enough zeros, I'll do anything, you know? And
yeah.
And that's why I like Dee Snider, because at least he's honest. Like, you know, like, hey, I'm retired. I'll give you $1 million. Hey, it looks like I'm unretired.
Yeah, exactly.
that's why I like Dee Snider.
Okay, but I don't know. I'm not a big fan of their band, but I mean, they had a few things, but
I'm a bigger fan of him. I mean, I guess, I don't know. I appreciate Twisted Sister. I really like some of Kiss's stuff too. Gene Simmons, for example, amuses the hell out of me.
Being amused and liking his music are two different things.
Well, this is true. The Paul Stanley, my favorite Paul Stanley quote, is he was being interviewed by one of these Sunday morning shows at his house, and he said, Gene lives a couple of miles down the road, and I can see his ego from here.
that's about right.
And I don't know how the two can stand each other, because if you actually listen to Paul Stanley and then you listen to Gene Simmons. But on the other hand, some of it's got to be shtick, because that's how Kiss became so popular, is they're a giant gimmick who can play. And yes, I know, as you guys are out there saying, oh, Gene Simmons is a shitty bassist, yada, yada, yada. Have you seen Motley Crue's ability to play? That's not throw sticks here. The only good, really, you got Mick Mars and Tommy Lee, the only good thing about the band. And I'm not, you know, and you can skip the blimp who sings.
I really never listened to Motley Crue all that much. I mean, there's a few of their songs that were okay, but for the most part, not a big fan of theirs. But
yeah, I'm with you.
I dig their best ofs. I really like best ofs, best of the Beatles, you know. I like more than just the best of a Jethro Tull, etc. Just because you get all the number one, all the big hits, and if you want to go into their deeper cuts, it's easier to find now.
Yeah, true.
But I'm a big fan of
it. It's not like back in the day where you actually had to buy a bunch of albums just to find certain songs.
Well, true. And sometimes that was a disappointment.
Record them off radio.
Yeah, it was a disappointment. Well, yeah, but that, boy, were those awful. You stick a microphone up to the little stinking radio speaker and try to record it. Yeah.
And end up getting three quarters of the song because the DJ had a commercial break.
Well, he had to come in and make his drop and go in, you know?
No. Yeah. And it's like an 8-track, you know, and right in the middle of the song.
So did you guys hear that Europe has a olive tree disease going on right now?
I had heard, yes.
$22 billion to fight.
Yeah, so.
So we were the coronavirus and this,
yeah,
they're screwed. I mean, olive oil and their olive business in Europe is huge for them.
Oh, absolutely.
It's going to screw them over a lot.
I really hope this can work out. Now, we had a grape blight back in the early 1900s, and somebody's probably going to correct me about this. I may be wrong. Maybe it's longer, in which basically wiped out all our grape crops. And we were literally saved by the Italians, who sent over many, many, many of the grapes that we now have, and we pinpoint them to that point.
So that's to say that let's make a trade.
Olive oil or wine? What do you want? What's more? there's
I'd rather
choice.
Have the olive oil. I don't all drink right, wine. They, so you give me a Maserati or a Porsche, a Ferrari, you know, we'll give you some.
Ferrari.
Yeah, but
a Porsche is German.
Can you imagine if something like that happened? I mean, what would our industry be that would be equivalent to Europe's olive trade? I mean,
how big is it though? I mean, really, is it giant? I mean, I don't know.
Well, they're looking at, where was it? It's already killed millions of olive trees in southern Italy. So, I mean, it can wipe out the whole thing. They're saying this is the equivalent of coronavirus to trees, but I'm kind of thinking they're using that just because it's convenient. But, yeah, the bacteria is wiping it out.
I wonder,
but it's gone from Italy to Spain and now into Greece.
Yeah, it's, hopefully they can get this figured out, because that is just, that's too important a crop for them.
The thing is that I don't have it right in front of me, but for olive trees to produce, they're not young, they're old. They have to be older trees to produce properly.
Yeah.
So it says it's hitting all the older trees that are, 50 years old and stuff. So
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, they're losing a lot.
That's too bad. Hopefully they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So how about
$22 billion? That's what they're projecting. That's it.
Wow.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Well, the way everything's going in this world economy now, nothing's helping it. Let's add that to it. It'd be like, us not being able to even produce a single car for a number of years. But hey, how about Brian May supposedly ripping muscles in his butt?
I haven't heard of that one.
Queens, Brian May.
The question
he
is,
he was hospitalized after ripping butt muscles to shreds. This is a quote: ripping butt muscles to shreds while he was gardening.
Well, the question is, it like Sean Waltman, the wrestler, he actually tore his anus doing a move and was in the hospital. He did it twice. So is it that bad? Like when?
Yeah, but I want to know what the heck he's gardening.
He is in his 70s. Honestly, he could have just bent over or squatted.
Well,
to do
maybe
something.
So. Since I'm close to that, I get it. I understand it. But it's like, come on, that's pretty funny. You gotta admit
that's pretty hardcore, man.
Yeah, painful.
Oh yeah, no kidding. But I'm still trying to figure out exactly what he's gardening. I should laugh at it. I'm sorry, but that one killed me.
Yeah. I heard that, and I just was like, "Oh my god!" And then, unfortunately, the song "Bicycle" started playing in my head. I don't know why, but when I heard that was the first thing that popped in my head. It's like, "Oh god, that's not."
We
good.
Know where your head is. So, what about former Bad Company's lead singer Brian Howe? He died at 66, my age, exactly my age.
I know of the band, but I couldn't tell you
Bad
anything.
Bad Company?
I know of them, but I can't. At the top of my head,
you don't
I can't
know
play.
Bad Company?
I don't know any of the song names. Like, that's the problem. Like, I know once I hear the song, I actually know the beat more than I do. What you call it?
Bad Company.
Yeah, I don't know any of the actual song that I don't know song titles.
Let's see if I can find some for you.
So did any of you guys see the talk about Brian May? Any of you guys seen that Queen movie?
You know, I didn't.
Did you, James?
Mm-mm. No, the Bohemian Rhapsody. No.
Yeah, I've seen a bunch of clips, and it's one of these things like I keep meaning to see, but for some reason it keeps.
I've heard it's a great movie. I just haven't gotten around to it. And speaking of movies, so Disney Plus surprisingly released the newest Star Wars: Rise of Jedi or Rise of Skywalker. I hadn't seen it before. I completely forgot that it was out in theater right before all this, Corona and social distancing stuff hit. I watched it, and I'm sitting there, and I'm finished the movie, and I'm thinking, I wonder how many more of these Disney's going to do. So I looked it up, and after Rise of Skywalker, they're projecting 3 more coming out by 2022.
Hold on,
what's up?
Okay, now I know Bad Company. Okay, that's enough. We're going to get, this episode's going to get removed, Dad.
But anyways,
I do know Bad Company now. Thank you.
All right. I just wanted to give you a hint.
No, I appreciate it. I just couldn't place it.
Obviously. Sorry, James.
However, anyways, if you give me like, the flute playing any section of Jethro Tull, I can generally. Oh,
I got a flute story. I have a flute story after James.
Hopefully it doesn't revolve anything Brian May did.
No, that's nothing to do with Brian May.
But anyways, yeah. So I was just looking at there. I just am surprised at how much
they'll milk it for. As far as I'm concerned, knowing Disney, they'll milk it for every penny they can milk.
Well, they basically.
But I'm starting to think that it's going to become like the James Bond series, which has 26 movies.
Yep.
Well, from the last time I looked it up, or
26, really?
I was reading about it.
I looked it up. It's 26.
Because of the Han Solo movie, it changed some of the directions. But I heard originally they were going to do a Boba Fett movie, a Han Solo movie. They were going to do a Windu movie, and maybe a Princess Leia movie. And they were basically gonna do all of the everything they could. And then when they realized most people didn't like the Han Solo movie, because they got, in my opinion, getting rid of the legacy universe killed the franchise. Because I just don't like the new ones. They're entertaining, but they're not Star Wars. But that's just me. Oh, by the way, just for some information, Italy is a large manufacturer, overall the second in the EU behind Germany, an exporter of significant variety of products, including machinery, vehicles, pharmaceuticals, furniture, food, clothing, and robots. So they are a pretty big manufacturer. So if they're saying food is one of their major exports, it's probably really big. Just for some context, because I have no idea how big olive oil death
is. It's huge.
So it's
huge.
It's probably a big sector.
I mean, I don't know how much you cook, but I mean, when I'm cooking, almost every day I'm cooking now, I'm using olive oil.
I like olive oil.
I mean, we have, as a country, talking about America, we do rip off Europe's olive oil a lot with just cutting it down, different methods that we use to try to stimulate it. So there's a lot of rip-off olive oils out there, but if you get the real stuff, I mean, it's coming from Europe for most part, but I mean, just the...
Well, you know, the United States is also doing, we're producing quite a bit of our own olive oil over here.
Yeah.
The biggest problem, I think, and you said it, is in the processing, because there's a lot of olives being grown, and, you know, it's got to be processed right and aged a bit. And so there's a lot of difference in that.
But. Maybe we'll start exporting the olives.
Yeah.
What's up?
The production of olive oil that comes out of Europe, 63% of it comes from Spain, 17% comes from Italy, 14% comes from Greece, and then Portugal's the other 5%. So those three that are just being hit right now,
wow,
that's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Europe produces 69% of the world's olive oil.
There you go.
Wow.
Yeah. No.
So thank you for some context, because I have no idea. So that's wow.
So if we lose Spain, Italy, and Greece, that's a huge dent in all of the world's olive oil production.
Well, if we take it, let's take it even further. Let's look at economically in the world.
Oh, yeah.
We're in a very teetery position right now, economically. Worldwide, if we're going to go into a deep, deep recession or a depression like it's being talked about, there is a good possibility that we may, because if we don't get our country back working, we don't get Europe back up and working, we don't get Asia back up and working, we're going to have some real problems.
Don't forget the subtitle.
Oh, yeah.
There's another name. It's the Great Depression 2, the China Boogaloo. Because China's going to become the winner of this one. If it's
proven.
Everything I've been reading so far says, besides the fact there's a giant theory that China released this on purpose.
Right.
Purpose being, it was a natural incident because of the way it did it, but they let it escape their borders on purpose because they didn't want the only ones to be hampered by it. But everything I've heard that because of the way China does things, because China doesn't care about rights in general, that if there's a depression, more than likely they're going to come out the world's largest superpower, which is, let's put it this way, for people who are freedom loving people, that's damning.
So their inability to produce the products and get them shipped out of that country is going to put the slammer on anything that they plan to be as far as superpower goes, because they need those sales. And now that those sales are being slammed shut, even China is going to have a problem.
And they also need raw materials. China has
it. And has it, absolutely.
They do have issues getting raw, except for rare earth minerals.
That's the one thing they have.
They have a large deposit.
We could send them our plastics.
And we did.
However, we still.
I know.
Then they didn't know what to do with
they
it.
They said no.
Yeah, they finally woke up and went, wait a minute, we don't know what to do with this.
However, we still have the world's stockpile of helium. All the helium around the world, 99.9%, comes from the United States.
Yeah, which we're running out of.
Yep. Which is depressing.
Just until our super volcano goes off.
Yeah. Well.
What happens is we're finally going to find the Nazi base on the moon when they have the helium free. Everything's going to be fine.
Dude, they're in the Antarctic. I already told you this.
Well, I thought you said they were in Brazil.
No, they fled down to South America, but they also have a base down in the Antarctic. Don't you know these conspiracy theories, John?
But where did the moon base come from?
Don't you pay attention?
They had a moon. They're on the dark side.
I love that album.
Dark Side of the Moon. Absolutely.
I hate the song Money, but I love the
album.
They
got up there with the Z-Cam. Money is great.
Actually, no, it's Time. That's an annoying song.
Oh, that's a great. I used to use that as my wake up ringtone. It was with all the clocks.
I actually did the same thing. So if you set the Wayback Machine to when I was in high school, I had this home theater and a box kit that you could do the same thing. You can put in a CD, say, okay, CD 1, track 5. And you could tell it what time to start. And I had it up way too loud, and I didn't realize I did that. I almost had an evacuation just by how much it scared me. Because when you're waking up to, it's like, it scared the ever-living shit out of me.
You know, speaking of music we're talking about, I came across this YouTube video of this young to me. She's probably early 30s, so-called classically trained. I'm not going to judge her by saying so-called. That's bad. Classically trained.
Alleged.
Flutist. Right, alleged.
Is that flautist?
Okay. Yeah, or a flautist. Depends on how you want to pronounce it. Who apparently never heard of Ian Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
So somebody sent her a video of one of his, unfortunately it was one of his live shows, but anyway, because I would have liked her to critique the actual flute playing on the record versus the live show. But anyway, it doesn't matter. And it was so funny watching her trying to decipher how he was doing things. It's just, oh, he's trilling. That's how he's making that noise, the particular sound. And she's trying to demonstrate what Ian Anderson is doing. And she's failing miserably, by the way.
I've seen the video. The funniest part of that video is, like you said, is when she's trying to explain it, and then she's doing what he's doing, and then she looks at the video more, and she's like, no, his hands are up more, and she's trying to explain his technique.
She can't figure it out, his fingering. She's, you know, she goes, how does he do that? And then she has a technique that he does, where basically, it's kind of like rubbing his fingers over the... where the keys kind of...
It's trippy. I don't know how he actually does what he does.
It's unbelievable. And she said, I've never known that was even possible. It was like, I'm going to put myself as a classically trained music teacher who doesn't understand me.
So I'm curious, when it comes to the classically trained, because I've always heard a Shakespearean...
I can say the same thing.
Like, say, Shakespearean actors. Nothing outside of Shakespeare is acting. Is it the same way with like some of these people who are classically trained musicians?
If you spend any time playing classical music with a renowned orchestra, which I happen to do with the LA Phil for a small period of time, I can say I was classically trained. Doesn't mean jack shit as far as I'm concerned. It's not your qualification. Sorry.
You see, this, it's just a big difference between somebody who does it professionally and learns their own way for things versus somebody who was taught by a bunch of people, you know, who compiled all their methods together. That's basically what's going on with somebody who goes to school versus somebody who does it as they grow up and just end up being in a band as far as musicians go, or, you know, somebody like, you could even use the culinary industry. Somebody who's learned to cook through going to restaurants and being taught that way. You're going to learn different methods through different things. And I've done things in the kitchen where I've had people come over and go, hey, show me that.
Right.
I'm like, okay, so show them. Like, or, you know, I've worked with people who didn't spend time in the kitchen, but I've been watching something they do that they figured out. Like, I worked with some guys who came up from Mexico, and one of them taught me how to peel a bell pepper a different way than I had been taught before. And I'm like, I like this better.
His method was easier.
So, you know,
yeah.
And I've had people come up to me that have been in the industry for 20, 30 years. And they're like, can you show me how you did that with the bell pepper? I'm like, I learned this from a Mexican guy who showed me that this is an easier way to do it. And they're like, that's really cool. Yeah, and I thought so.
And then from what I've heard about Ian Anderson, he's self-taught. So, So this is my thought is I wonder if you don't necessarily go to school, if you're self-taught, maybe you don't get stuck in the old trappings of, cause so, he holds, if you actually watch him, his fingertips aren't on the actual keys. He's more up on like the middle of your pads. On the pads.
Yeah.
It's crazy to watch.
And I may be wrong. I mean, somebody's probably going to listen to this and say this guy's full of crap, but that's okay. My understanding is also that he was watching his daughter, who was learning to play the flute from an actual flute instructor, who's supposedly teaching the correct method of fingering. And he realized he'd been doing it wrong for the last 20 years. And he tried to go back and learn it the so-called proper way. I don't know if he actually ended up doing it or not, but you know, you got to get, what cracks me up is that, you know, the way he dances around and twirls the flute and throws it all in the air and it's going crazy. And she's just going, oh my God, that poor flute. What she doesn't understand is Ian Anderson buys cheap student flutes for every concert. He has a new flute for every concert and he just throws them away. They're damaged. He's already beat them up. Sometimes he hits them on things and he can't even.
Does he throw them in the audience like the drummers do sticks?
No, he doesn't. He doesn't do that.
Because I'll be honest.
Could you imagine getting hit with a flute, John?
No.
However.
I don't think John's actually held a flute.
I have. So, but however, right. if I actually had an Ian Anderson flute that hit me.
That would be cool, wouldn't
it? That would be cool. Granted, I don't know a lot of people.
When you get out of the hospital.
Hey, Brandon, you might be able to go on eBay and look up Ian Anderson. Some flutes, you might find some for sale.
Right next to those fake cigarettes.
Yeah.
He's the one thing that I'm surprised, if you actually watch Ian Anderson, like how he doesn't get blown up. He's dancing. The dude must have the lung capacity of a whale. It's amazing.
His aerobic. I saw a live thing that he just did like a year ago or so, and he's still doing it. I'm going,
isn't he in his 80s?
God, he's in his 70s. I would be huffing and puffing after, you know, the first 5 minutes, let alone 2-hour concert. And I just don't know how he does it. He's unbelievable.
So,
yeah.
I just think that's amazing. Well, it's like the, what I've heard about Frank Sinatra, when he originally started singing, he put his head in a bucket and held his breath. One of the reasons they say he could sing longer than most people is because he really focused on breath control to be able to sing an extra line. Mm-hmm. The documentary I saw where everybody was 4, he was able to do 5. And he said people were really pissed at him that he had that ability because apparently most people you get to the end of the 4th, you're like...
They were jealous of his ability. You know?
Well, then they disappeared afterwards.
You look at Angus Young from AC/DC, the little boy school guitarist. I don't know if Rob knows the guy's name off the top of his head.
I've lost it. I know who you're talking about, Howard.
But the guitarist, I mean, he's running around the entire, all the basically from when they start to when they finish, he's running back and forth and playing his guitar.
People don't realize the amount of exercise that they're doing up there. And, you know, I mean, the guys have been known to lose, you know, 5 pounds of water because they've sweated it off after a concert, you know, and have to hit back up the electrolytes to get them back up because it's just, they're just nonstop.
Well, that happened to Meatloaf. And there's a couple other,
it wasn't hard for Meatloaf to lose 5 pounds of water. Well,
true. I mean, if you actually watch him, he reminds me of a Baptist preacher.
Yes. Yes. He's constant. Yes.
Like he's patting it, but, it's pretty amazing. Some of the older guys, you'll actually see with a Pedialyte. Actually, I saw one of the older fellas. I wish I remember who it was. He had a bottle of the children's Pedialyte sitting on top of a speaker.
Every once
in a while, he'd go back and drink it and said, hey, at least the guy's not going to die on stage.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's people that, I saw something like on a mom's group from way back when on Facebook, saying that Pedialyte's like the perfect cure for hangovers.
They said that was one of the, one of the side benefits of Pedialyte back in the day was, you know, they said it's a hangover cure. I don't think they ever did a commercial for it, but that was always what, you know, we always said, Get those electrolytes back into you. So.
My favorite thing about Angus Young, I got really into watching videos of famous musicians, their crews, the backstage, their equipment guys. And one of the...
You mean the roadies?
Roadies, that's it. So this roadie was bringing out Angus Young's guitars, and one of them was rusted. If you look at the bridge, there's rust all of his guitars. And he said, yeah, we don't clean them. He doesn't want us to. He says, I'm on tour. Don't futz with it. If something really screws up, fix it. Otherwise, leave it alone. And yeah, some of this stuff after a night, like, you know, you could be freshly clean, and by the end of the night, it's rusted by just the amount of sweat this dude has.
You know, do you guys remember the... old Riverdance got famous?
Oh yeah
Michael Flatley.
So yeah, that guy,
he
I heard it was like 15 pounds that he was sweating. I doubt that. He'd probably die, but I guarantee he probably lost a lot of weight.
Yeah,
each and every set.
I wonder if he has arthritis now.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably.
Because you think your knees and your ankles, if you danced that style for as many years as he did, you think you would be and a lot of pain.
It has to have an effect on your body. It was just unbelievable, you know, the stamina and what they do and for how long and show after show after show. Yeah.
I remember.
I cannot imagine being on tour for that.
No, you know, dancers, you know, it's so easy to overlook the athletics. You know, we talk about these. I think we've mentioned in the show before about, you know, glorifying basketball players and, you know, baseball players and all the ballers and everything's, you know, you forget how much that the dancers and the musicians and how athletic all of these guys are. And it's easy to overlook, I guess.
But speaking of different playing styles, so I'm pretty sure John knows who he is, but have you ever heard of a guy by the name of Phil Kagi, Rob?
I have.
Yeah? Yeah.
Yes, I have.
Now there's a guy who has a different playing style.
Yeah.
And he's amazing, considering he's missing bits of his fingers.
Right.
And he's still one of the best guitarists in the world, from what I've heard and from what people have said.
You know, there was a YouTube video that I watched not too long ago with, I want to say it was Neil Young talking about him.
Oh,
And
that dude is an insufferable prick.
Neil Young?
I can't stand him. Yeah. Don't get me wrong, I think he's talented. I'm not a big, big fan of his music, but some of the stuff, if you listen to him, it's just like, man, maybe the guys from Lynyrd Skynyrd were correct, and they were fans of his.
Well, you know, you know, we were talking about egos before. he is right up there with his ego. It's as large as
Simmons.
The else, yeah. I mean, he really does think he is the greatest of all time. Now, with that said, has he produced some great music? Sure, but
so if you're
is the best of all time,
If you were going to put up lyricists versus some of the greatest lyricists of all time, like Bob Dylan versus Neil Young,
oh, I'd be Bob Dylan.
The most amazing thing about Dylan is he can't really sing.
Well, you either like his style of singing, but you can't argue with his music writing.
Well, see, but it's like, this is an odd comparison, but take Jimi Hendrix, a man who is not known for his singing ability, but his playing, but it fits, his style of singing fits the style of playing.
Yeah.
And the same thing with Bob Dylan, his weird way of singing fits what he does.
To a degree. My problem is I don't know how to listen to a whole album of Bob Dylan.
People do that?
They do.
Are they sober?
I don't know. I mean, you know, God love him. He's just not the best singer.
I think I would have to be drunk to listen to a whole album. He does do a song called Days of 49, which is actually an old song from the Wild, Wild West days. And I really love his versions of it because it has a good pacing to me. But I don't, some of his newer stuff is...
newer. Does he have anything newer?
Yeah, he just came out. He released a song that's like 17 minutes long, and it's just like this rambling free association with music. And I just can't take it. I like his 60s stuff. I like some of the newer stuff than that, but I just can't take him. But if I had his writing ability, like if I could take his writing ability and Dolly Parton's writing ability and just combine it and make it my own,
Writability. New word. I'm impressed, actually. I was thinking that's a good word. We should copyright it. Right.
Because Dolly Parton, she's such a prolific
songwriter
that if she died today and donated all the rights to some sort of organization, that organization would never have to fundraise again just by the amount of stuff she's wrote. Like, I Will Always Love You is her song. You know, but that was it. Not Tina. Is it Tina Turner for the Kevin Costner movie? So a lot of songs people don't realize she wrote. And some of the songs, I don't know if she's performed. I know she did I Always Loved You, and honestly, her version's not the best.
I always thought, you know, Tom Petty was a great lyricist as far as it goes as well, too.
And he has a strange singing style, too, I always thought.
Yeah, he does.
It was like a laid-back delivery. I mean, not Bob Dylan laid-back, but more of a relaxed style of singing.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I like some of Neil Young, quite a bit of Neil Young stuff. I don't know him personally. Don't ever want to know him personally.
I'm not taking anything away from him. And, you know, there's also Simon and Garfunkel, too. And, you know, Paul Simon has written a ton of songs.
I guess the problem is like when you see, like, when you see an interview, you never know where the headspace was in. You never know the moment, you know, so you don't know if he was just having a bad day and he came across an insufferable prick. I mean, I've heard multiple people say Neil Young's a genius, but he's an asshole.
That's the thing. A lot of artists, though. A lot of artists are, you know, great at what they do, but assholes.
Well,
you know,
what's the population in the world?
Billion something.
Somebody look it up real quick.
John. It was like 9 billion last I saw.
I want to know, what's the population of the world?
So the current world population is 7.8 billion as of May 2020.
Okay, so not counting all the people that are dying from corona. But so if you think about, you know, 7 billion, let's say 7 billion people. So name 100 artists. Name 100 artists. No. Not looking it up. Not going to Google and trying
to
get a list.
You want me to sit there and name 100 different artists?
I'd
have to have a piece of paper.
Okay, so what I'm trying to bring up is the reason these people have the egos they have is because you remember their names compared to how many billion people out there, and you can't name them. So in some respects, they have a right to have an inflated ego, because otherwise, you know what? You would know them from Adam.
Yeah,
that's true.
The only issue, honestly, that I have against some of these artists, and this is just my thing, is it's like the same thing I have against people who play sports for a living. You sing songs. You play a game. Granted, being on stage for 2 hours is incredibly difficult, and the amount of time you're on the road. Same thing for sports players and wrestlers and actors. Yeah. But reality is, you're not punching in 9 to 5. And depending where you are in your career, as some of these guys, you never have to work again. Now, if you're talking about Metallica in the early days when they were eating a ham hand sandwich, I have a lot of, they deserve a lot of credit for the dues they had to pay. You know, so I give them that, but I just the ego I've never understood. But yeah, you're allowed to if you did all that and you've won all sorts of awards. Yeah.
Put it in perspective, like that's why I want to know the population of the world. You put it in perspective, and it's like, you know, you go, okay, I can kind of understand it to a degree.
So Elvis Presley, the other Bruce problem, Springsteen,
the other
John,
problem too
Eminem,
is that
David
all
Bowie.
The musicians in the background that have helped the particular artist get to where they're at get zero credit. Zip zilch. You know,
reality is you want to be a songwriter.
One of the things that I've pointed out to people, because I used to be I was preteen or so, I was a Grateful Dead fan.
Right.
And
you didn't know any better.
One of the things I point out to people is a lot of people know Jerry Garcia.
Yeah. Name the others.
There was another guitarist that was always with Jerry Garcia by the name of Robert Hunter, who was his backup guitarist, who also did some lead guitarist as well, who was just as good.
Right.
But nobody realizes that other guitar that was with Jerry, that was really going along and harmonizing with him and doing solos with him, they don't know who he is.
Is it?
One reason I know who he is because I actually looked it up.
Well, for every artist's name that you know, there's tens of millions that you don't.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I was going to say, John, as far as, like, you seeing somebody with an interview that you think is just an asshole, like you said, I mean, there's also the fact that you don't know what happened right before the show, or but not everybody is as good of an interview as the inside the actor studio guy.
Oh, no. That's, you know, that's...
So, I mean, not everybody's going to be as ease as James Lipton was able to put people at.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, you'll see stars inside the actor studio that are really calm and having a great time and actually having a good conversation. And then you can see them in another interview and you're like, what the heck is the problem now?
Well, I mean, that's why I said what I said. Cause
human nature anyway. So I don't disagree with that.
Cause you really never know where these guys are. Far as the Grateful Dead, I'm such a tech geek. I don't know any other people in the Grateful Dead. However, I know of the Wall of Sound, which is something they only ran for a couple of years because of how expensive it was to maintain. Which is the one thing I think if I could go back in time, I would have gone to one of those concerts, but maybe with an N95 mask. I think it'd be the same thing you guys said is, it just depends on the moment. However, there are stars like Richard Dean Anderson that multiple people I know have run into him. I've read multiple things where he says, you know, he's kind of a douche. But on the other hand, you know, if you've got the money, you've put in the dues, you know, as long as you're not kicking kittens, I don't particularly care.
Well, you know, he was able to get a number of shows and be successful as a star, and that's fine and dandy. Who cares what, you know, when it comes down to, I don't care if he wants to give somebody a signature or not, autograph or not, you know, whatever.
Talk about famous people. Jerry Stiller passed away.
Yeah.
Who one of the rare guys in Hollywood was in multiple shows, two of them playing the same character pretty much. I didn't realize he did something with his wife back in the day.
They were a comedian team.
Jerry Stiller and Anne Marie. I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, that's how they started. I think they were one of the Ed Sullivan discoveries, if I'm not mistaken.
He died at 94 years old.
Yeah, good run. Good run for him.
I loved his character on Seinfeld. And apparently King of Queens, which I've never actually seen, they said he did the same basic character.
I never watched the show. I maybe caught one episode of the show and he was on it. And that's the only reason I was slipping through channels. He's the only reason that I stopped to listen to it because it was him. So, or watch it.
Yeah. He's always been a great actor. I do remember him King of Queens. Like Bob said, I've only seen a few episodes at best. Never was a big fan.
I was sad to hear that. I mean, but granted, 95. I mean, if or 94, 95. I mean, if you're gonna, that's a really good long.
That's a great run,
and that's enough to your grandchildren get to know you, great grandchildren possibly get to know you. I think that's really amazing
to get to 95 if you still have your mind with you.
Oh yeah,
because unfortunately, so many of us as we're starting to get to that period of time, our minds don't always help you. Let's just put it that way.
And then you decide to run for president. I think some of the issues is the fact that some of these older folks, I've heard from multiple people. I know quite a few people in their 80s. Their secret, part of it is says you just got to stay active and be around people. Said one of the issues some of these people have is...
You know what?
But hold on. Let me finish.
I'm closer to that. No, he's muting me. All right.
Well, I was going to say.
Take that board back from you.
I mean, but this is what they say. Say for them, it's staying active, not, you know, being busy.
It's the same thing as asking a guy who turns 100 years old, what's your secret to turning 100 years old? It's smoking a cigar every day and drinking a quart of scotch.
My favorite one was an older lady, you know, basically said the same thing. So what's your secret? Staying away from men, a handle of whiskey a day, and I smoke. She'd been smoking like a pack of cigarettes since she was 20.
Exactly.
So she would have lived to be 200 years old if she didn't fucking smoke.
I guess nobody
Jerry Stiller is, and then not necessarily when he died, but last year it's, he was worth $12.5 million. Family, a decent amount of money.
Do you know what amazed me?
He gave it all away.
What was it? Kirk Douglas, who recently died. He died with $60 million. Every one of his, I guess, his children or grandchildren had quadruple the amount of money. He gave away his entire fortune. And I was thinking about that. But besides all the rumors you heard about him, he was one of the world's famous actors during the golden era of Hollywood. In the end of his life, he only had $60 million. That amazes me.
Yeah, granted,
that's a lot of money for back in the day, but considering like what was it? Robert Downey Jr. got like $500 million or some crazy thing for like the first couple of Iron Man movies.
Yeah,
because he was such a risk.
Yeah, things are just different.
I'm just blown away by that.
Well, you know, I wonder if Bill Gates is still going on the. He many years ago he said he was going to leave his children
$10 million.
I mean, you know, like. 0.000 of his worth, you know, he and his wife are trying to give the money away as fast as they can, and they can't seem to give it away fast enough. And he's trying to say he's not going to leave his children any money.
Bill Gates is an interesting cat, because I recently heard, and I haven't actually read into this, that he's into population control.
You know, he did. I also understand, and I want to look back on, he had been talking about pandemic problems 20 years ago, and started trying to get the world to wake up.
Five, 10 years ago, he did a TED talk, but I recently, you know, my thing I heard was he was actually for, we need to control the Earth's population, kind of vaguely sounded like eugenics, and, well, that's... You know,
Did he talk about sterilization and only one child?
Yeah, stuff like that.
Situation that
usually every time somebody says population control, they have a highly inflated version of their importance. Because I've had multiple people say that, and I said, "You first." And I said, "Well, what do you mean?" It's like, obviously, you believe in controlling the population. I think you need to lead by example. I have said that to multiple people, and they've never had any good response.
Because they already have two or three kids. At that point, we don't want you to have more than one, but let me have my four or five kids that I want. Talk to the Mormons about that.
I find Bill Gates interesting. I don't know I don't know how to take him sometimes, because I don't know if he recently said something incredibly stupid or if like the rumor mill got to him, because holy crap, is there a lot of Bill Gates stuff on my social media feeds? Like a lot.
You know, it's interesting if we look at the top guys from the major companies. You know, we've got the Microsofts, we have the Amazon, the Bezos, we've got the Musks, we've got the Richard Branson. You've got these billionaires and
that dude in Mexico, something slim.
Yeah, there's a number of them throughout, and some of them, you know, people go, "Oh, he's the greatest." You listen to him talk; he's got all this sage wisdom to talk about. And others, you wouldn't want to even listen to for about 2 minutes. And Gates. You know, he's not, I don't know. He falls into a different category, I think.
I always think about this. Like, if you had the choice of hanging out with somebody for a day or talking with somebody, I'd love to talk to Bill Gates. However, hanging out for the day just for sheer entertainment factor, give me the billionaire who's doing blow off of hookers, because at least you know you're gonna at least be entertained. Bill Gates to me.
We just got. That's it. The show just got cut off.
Be entertainment or, you know, incriminating yourself, John?
Yeah.
I'm watching. I'm not doing
it. No.
See, that's still incriminating yourself, because you're there watching without reporting. So that's, you know, giving some type of consent. So that's still a bit of illegal, John.
So because who would you rather spend time with, Bill Gates or Elon Musk?
See, the only issue with Elon...
Can I take a nap?
The only issue I have with Elon is he's, if you listen to the interviews he's done, he's kind of a slower interview because I think he's, I honestly think he's thinking so much or just relaying the information what he's trying to talk takes of it. He would be interesting. I think Bill Gates to me might be more relatable just because I'm a geek and I would be very interested on the history of computing and how he, you know, kind of the beginning of Microsoft. Elon Musk for me, I think is so beyond.
Okay. Bill Gates or Steve Jobs?
Bill Gates.
Okay.
Can I pick Steve Jobs? Because I'm not going to be talking to him. He's dead.
Well, the only reason why...
This is all hypothetical.
The only reason about that Steve Jobs...
Sorry, James.
...is I think Steve Jobs and I would have a personality clash just from everything I've ever read about the guy. But I just think that was just him.
Yeah. Oh, well, you may be right. I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, we can do these...
I'd take Harpo Marx over any of them.
There you go. Just get a horn.
But I mean, you're going to be entertained and have a great time.
Hitler or Mussolini?
God, no. I'm
so,
out the door.
So let me set the premise. If you had a chance to interview to one of the world's most genocidal, insane madmen, you were guaranteed to be safe. Nothing would happen to you, but you got a chance to sit down and have an hour conversation. Who would you choose? But it has to be some... What was that?
Can I resort to creative interrogation methods?
Nope. It has to be a standard, like, you know, a standard interview. Like a 60-minute style interview. Somebody... Who would it be?
I think I'd go with Hitler because as far as I've ever known, Mussolini wasn't very eloquent as a speaker.
He must have been enough to pull.
I was going to say, in comparison to Hitler, as far as it goes.
True. Hitler
so
was...
I think it would be more of a conversation if it was Hitler than to sit there and try to talk with Mussolini over certain things.
I got to be honest, I wish I spoke German because I've heard, if you listen to Hitler's speeches in the original German, the way he speaks, I've heard people say he's a good storyteller. The tale he weaves, I've heard, is masterful. And they said, because it says if you translate it, you lose some of the storytelling, the way he speaks. I think Stalin would be fascinating to me because he was a genocidal, paranoid lunatic who died of natural causes. I think he would be interesting. And I also, being Jewish, wouldn't want to talk to Hitler. Let's be honest.
Hitler had Jewish heritage.
Unfortunately, all three of us here have a bone in that.
Or Genghis Khan would be fascinating. Actually, no,
if you want to go back, maybe Plato.
Maybe he was genocidal, though. I mean, like a genocidal lunatic.
Nero?
Nero would be fascinating.
All right, there you go. You wanna go.
Or Genghis Khan would be interesting.
Caligula?
Caligula?
As long as you're not at one of his parties.
No. Well, did he ever do anything but?
I don't know. Nobody really knows, do we? That's a little bit back there.
I've never gone that deep into Roman history. I find it interesting, but not enough to actually dig up, you know, some ancient Roman historian.
So you're not interested in hanging out with Pol Pot? Hmm.
I actually don't know enough about him. I know about him, but not, I know he was an evil son of a bitch, but not enough. Let's be honest. We grew up.
An evil son of a bitch.
Let's be honest. We grew up in the era of World War II television. So I know,
that's true.
Not only do I know more about World War II, it's my favorite part of history.
All right. Let's bring it back. How about president?
American?
What United States president would you want to interview?
Ulysses S. Grant would be interesting. I heard he was an ineffectual president, but the fact that he was the president basically after the war, if I remember my history correctly, I think would be interesting.
Teddy Roosevelt.
That would be interesting.
Teddy Roosevelt would be Very interesting.
Or Theodore. I mean, not Theodore. The other Roosevelt, the idea of dropping the, thinking about dropping a bomb.
Well, it was the idea of it, but it was Truman that actually did it.
Well, yeah. I mean, even thinking about it, though, I mean, you get told as a president, hey, Mr. President, we literally just invented or we have an idea for the world's most powerful bomb that could potentially destroy the world. That's got to fuck with you. Just thinking, save lives, destroy the planet. I mean, that's, oh my God, what a choice. I mean, that's a lot more than, you know, hey, do I want vanilla with my cake or do I want chocolate?
You know, when you look at the presidents, it's really hard to, who, you know, I can think more of back in history than any that I would think of modern day presidents. I personally think Nixon would have been a very interesting interview.
I've always been more into, I would have loved to have sat down with Jefferson. That's the president
Andrew Jackson,
I would have liked.
Jefferson was, yeah. Jefferson, Andrew Jackson.
If you read Jefferson's writings that survived, they're very interesting, very intellectual, very well thought out. So I think he would be a great person to sit down and actually have a conversation with. If I wanted to talk to somebody about historical events and things like that, then yeah, I'd go for World War I, World War II, maybe some in the Korean War, not so much the Vietnam, just because there was a lot more going on besides just the war. But that's kind of where I'd be at if I was to sit down and actually have an intellectual conversation with one of the presidents. I think I'd go with Jefferson or, you know, somebody from that time period.
You know who he's not a president, but a candidate who I think would be interesting to talk to if you could actually get him to stop running for, you know, stop being honest. I think Bernie Sanders would be interesting just from a philosophical difference that him and I politically are such opposites. I think if you could sit down and have a cup of coffee with him and actually, or kombucha, to actually have a regular normal conversation, I think that would be fascinating just on the level of trying to understand it. Cause I know a number of people who are way left of Ryan and they're fun to talk to because you listen to what they say and you're just like, I don't get it. I don't understand. So I think Bernie Sanders would be
fun. When did that become a gauge, way left of Ryan?
Cause he's the most the liberal one of all of us. Let's be honest.
It's true.
So just, you know, for people listening to the show, if you want to gauge it, it's as conservative as me or liberal as Ryan.
You know, wanting to talk to a politician almost seems like an oxymoron to me. As I think back, it's at least modern politicians. Politics is such a weird thing these days. I mean, at one point it was something to be, I think, something to be excited about, proud about, you know, all that. But nowadays it's like, ew.
I mean,
modern day politicians, particularly the, you know, professional politicians, I can't stand it.
It does kind of remind me of walking behind a horse and stepping on an apple and you're looking at the bottom of your shoe and just going, ugh. But my gauge for everything, honestly, has always been, would I like to have a cup of coffee? And for the amount of time that coffee lasts, would I enjoy having a conversation? And that's always been my gauge. So that's really helped me. You pay attention to the person, you see the interviews, you read them, and you're just like, you know, no, I don't think this person be on. And I've seen some Bernie Sanders stuff for me, and I've seen he would be fun. It might drive me absolutely batshit crazy, but he would be interesting. I think Bill Clinton, for his insights in politics, would be fascinating.
You know who'd be better for me? It's Ronald Reagan.
Oh, hell yeah.
Ronald Reagan would have been just super fascinating to sit down and talk with, considering his scope of what he did with his life, from his acting all the way into politics and everything that there. I thought that would be interesting just to sit and talk to him.
And so that's always been kind of my gauge for things. And it's fun for me to be a good gauge. Like, I think Tarantino would be interesting, but it would be alcohol instead of a
cup of coffee.
Tarantino
would drive me nuts.
He would drive me nuts, But I think in a movie conversation, if you really got into the nitty gritty of it, I think it would be a blast. Because just to hear, if you say, you're like, oh, this movie, scene six, this shot, you know, this, and just really break down film would be fun. Because he has such a different point of view from every director I've read.
So the only way I can listen to Tarantino is not to have the video on. Sorry, man. But boy,
the lights out.
Oh my God.
If you're in a room with him, the lights are out. Oh. Or he's wearing a bag.
Oh yeah. Well, it's just, yeah. Oh, it just couldn't do it.
Oh God, what's her name? I feel really bad for the chick who is in Murder, She Wrote. Angela Lansbury.
Yeah.
She would be fun to talk to.
Betty White would be better, yeah. I think.
God, yeah.
Wouldn't that be hysterical?
Or Bea Arthur if she was still alive.
Yeah. Betty White was something else, although she's still something else.
I think hanging out with Betty White would be a blast.
You hear nothing but good things from her. And, you know, and apparently she's a great interview. And I've watched, you know, Facebook has had a number of clips that you can watch of old game shows. And Betty White was a staple of a lot of the old shows.
So if you check out, so we're running way late. If you check out Pluto, it's an app where what you get to, it's an ad supported streaming app with a ton of content, you know, MSNBC's on there, American Gladiators, et cetera, et cetera. They have a game show channel called Buzzer. And once in a while they'll play an old game show that she's on. And you just like, she doesn't get enough credit for how, like, not only innovative, but just how fucking funny she is.
Oh, yeah. She's
hysterical. Hilarious.
And she's the cleanest, dirtiest comedian I've heard. Because I like her comedy because, you know, back in the day, you couldn't say dirty stuff. So you just had to word it in a way that you're just like, how did it get past the censors?
Censors aren't that quick.
But what was it? Robin Williams said from Mork and Mindy, they had to finally find a censor that was that spoke Yiddish and a couple other languages because of the stuff he would say, they wouldn't catch it.
That's funny.
So any final thoughts? Anything else to add to the conversation before we...
I'm sure we lost the audience about 45 minutes ago, but that's okay.
Well, luckily,
luckily
they can hit pause, grab a cup of coffee, maybe some alcohol
or their
favorite vegetable of choice, and come back and enjoy the rest of the show. I know we do have a couple of fans.
Good.
I do know for sure because they've told me we like your show. And I asked them why, but
send us our two fans.
And then trailed off. Yeah. And John was blocked.
Can one of our two fans send in a question for next week's show, possibly?
I'll bug them. I know them personally.
That's not fair. You can't pay fans.
Who's paying? I just know who they are. So, ladies and gentlemen, for the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, for James the Fat Man Stevens.
Direct from the edge of the podcasting fringe, it's the Rob Charney.
And as always, thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.